What is Satanism?
Satanism is the world's first carnal religion. Carnal religion. Satanism is thrown at Christianity altogether. And we see them as being irrelevant. We see them as being irrelevant to mankind.
Satanism has grown to a point now where it's an established religion more and more. People are going through their lives as Satanists. The population as a whole are beginning to understand that it's not some adolescent fad.
We're talking about you pulling your kids out of the public school system. What was their initial reaction?
The minute it was done, the relationships within the family got so much stronger that we wondered why we hadn't done it in the first place. Child in question with the said, now my focus is on learning and my family, not what I'm going to wear, not who I'm going to impress. And we were, in fact, people commented on it all the time that we were the most closely knit family anyone had ever seen.
What, in your opinion, would be the best way to go about recognizing pseudo-Satanism?
They should write down the following words. The Satanic Bible. When we have people who are so distorting what Satanism is about that they move it into a deification, they move it into a form of Judeo-Islamic Christianity where you are worshiping some kind of an external deity which has all power and all of this, this can really work against any person who wants to develop strength within.
Why dabble in the dark side when you can dive right in?
Hail Satan!
It's Satanism today. Here's David Harris.
Who?
Feels like ages since I've done this show. Satanism today, everybody. I am your host, David Harris. Give us a call. 631-458-0592 is the phone number. And, of course, you can Skype us. Skype ID is Satanism Today Radio, if you've got Skype on your computer. And, of course, you can always email the show, reverendharris@satanismtoday.net. It's been like 3 weeks since I've done a show. Here I was thinking Saturdays would be a much better day to do the show, and my Saturdays have been booked up. It's always the way. And give you all a heads up right now, no show next week. I'm going to be heading upstate to spend some time with some friends. And let's see. Yeah, I'll just give you the rundown of the calendar right now. Let's see. No show next week. Definitely the one the week after that, so... 31st is kind of up in the air. February, let's see. Yeah, February 7th is going to be a big day of Harris Media Radio, so there'll be a show on February 7th. It gives you the next 4 weeks of whether I will or will not be doing a show. I want to talk a little bit before we get started. I want to talk a little bit about creativity and productivity. It's no secret that many a member of the Church of Satan has the creative bug. Definitely has the creative bug. And a lot of us like to scratch that itch. I'm certainly no exception doing this as well as countless other things. I also want to talk about stratification. Sometimes when members and non-members alike create something and they want a little praise for it, it may or may not be praiseworthy. That's okay. It's okay that you're proud of something. You think it's fantastic. Maybe others don't feel the same way. It's all right. You either stand by your product or you try again. A lot of people like to criticize. I've been criticized countless times for, especially with regards to my work ethic with this show. And you know what? I'll be my own biggest critic. My work ethic when it comes to this show is abysmal. A lot of folks like to criticize. Many of the folks who like to criticize do so for the same reasons that they criticize the Church of Satan. It's because they have nothing going on in their lives. And they will get that little green-eyed, envious monster in their heads. And they will they'll try to tear something down in an attempt to boost themselves up. Others criticize for different reasons. Their hearts may be in the right place, but they lack social graces. I'm always a big advocate of free speech. Say what you want. Say what you feel. But comedian D.L. Hughley once said that free speech is a zero-sum proposition. And when you say something, you need to be prepared for what people are going to think about what it is you're saying. Whether that thing is being said with the best of intentions or if it's being said with malice. And I've been on both the giving and receiving ends of both types of statements. If you're going to criticize, be prepared to defend what it is you say. Have the ability to back up your statement with fact. Be able to stand up and defend what it is you had to say. Or, in what could be construed as a really powerful act of lesser magic, you could say, "Hey, I was wrong. Jumped the gun on that one. Sorry. Didn't know what I was saying. Didn't get enough sleep the night before." Or maybe you can do what a lot of folks do and just tacitly nod in silence. Never a bad way to go either. And this coming from a guy who doesn't like to shut up. Now, that being said, are you racist? That's a question that gets asked. In a recent study, find this article on CNN. You may be more racist than you think. Would you get upset if you witnessed an act of racism? A new study published Thursday in the Journal of Science suggests many people unconsciously harbor racist attitudes, even though they see themselves as tolerant and egalitarian. Quote, "This study and a lot of research in social psychology suggests that there are still really a lot of negative association with blacks," said Kerry Kawakami, associate professor of psychology at York University in Toronto, Ontario, and lead author of the study. Quote, people are willing to tolerate racism and not stand up against it. The authors divided 120 non-black participants into the roles of experiencers and forecasters. The experiencers were placed in a room with a white person and a black person who played out a prearranged scenario for the experiment. The scenarios began when the black role player bumped into the white role player's knee when leaving the room. In the first scenario, the white person did not comment afterwards. In the moderate case, the white person said, "Typical, I hate it when black people do that," after the black person left the room. In the extreme case, the white person remarked, "Clumsy nigger." The forecasters, meanwhile, predicted how they would feel in these situations. The magnitude of the results surprised even the authors, Kawakami said. Experiencers reported little distress in all three scenarios, much less than the forecasters did in the moderate and severe situations. Quote, "Even during that most extreme comment didn't lead people to be particularly upset," said co-author Elizabeth Dunn, assistant professor of psychology at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Why should people be upset? Over a word? What kind of silly PC horseshit is this? People should get upset when they hear the word nigger. No. Why should they? It's a word. It's a word with an extreme amount of negative connotation. What should be upsetting, perhaps, is that you've just encountered someone who may not, who may feel that certain segments of society aren't entitled to certain rights. That should be the upsetting part. You know, someone hears the word nigger and doesn't get upset, and psychologists are up in arms about it, and they want to call people racist. It's ridiculous. Immediately afterwards, the participants were asked to choose either the black person or the white person as a partner for an anagram test. More than half the experiencers chose the white partner, regardless of the severity of the comment that the person made earlier. As for the forecasters, less than half chose the white partner when a comment was made, but most chose the white person when no comment was made. This goes along with studies that were performed by guys like James Watson. Studies that have statistically shown that across a large timeline, yes, those of European descent, on average, have a higher IQ than those of African descent. That's not racism. That's science. It's not popular science. It's not science that lots of people would like to acknowledge, but it's science nonetheless. That's the difference between racism and racialism. Those who acknowledge that there are physical differences between the races and have no issues with exploring them and turning them to one's advantage. Quote, "Some people might think that they are very egalitarian and they don't have to deal with their prejudices, and that's not related to them at all, when in actual fact they may hold these hidden biases," Kawakami said. This study is consistent with decades of psychology research pointing to the same thing. People are really bad at predicting their own actions in socially sensitive situations. People aren't good at this type of thing, primarily because society has deemed it inappropriate to react based upon one's nature. It's generally, and I say generally because there are obvious exceptions, and anyone who wants to sit there and say that, you know, I'm, you know, that I exercise, you know, inappropriate prejudices for making these types of statements, you're ignorant if you think that. It's human nature, and it's the nature of all animals, really, to want to associate with those that are like us. Look at most communities. I can pretty much guarantee, across the United States of America, with certain exceptions, of course, again, there, I speak in generalities, you find pockets of communities where people of certain races congregate together with each other. This is nothing new. This happens everywhere. It happens all the time. It's everywhere. Every one of you out there listening knows of a black neighborhood. Every one of you out there listening knows of a Hispanic neighborhood, knows of an Asian neighborhood, knows of the predominantly white upper-class neighborhoods. And yes, there will be some intermingling based upon not statistics, but those who break the statistics. Think about it. Think about your typical, quote-unquote, black community. What do you out there think of when you think of a black community? You think of a place like Harlem. A place that, by reputation, it's been, it has increasingly been getting better, but by reputation, is of a lower income. It's a high crime area, and is inhabited, yes, by blacks, by and large, per capita. Satan Drew in the chat room says, and sucky music. that's what you think of. It has nothing to do with our own preconceived notions. It has to do with what actually exists. Jay Nothing, by reputation, gay communities have the best property values per capita. You are absolutely right. That is 100% true. That's why apartments in the Village are ridiculously expensive. The racism study harkens back to Stanley Milgram's famous experiment that began in the early 1960s, in which most people obeyed orders to deliver electric shocks to an innocent person in the next room. Many psychiatrists had predicted that the majority of subjects would stop when the victim protested, but this was not the case. Regarding racism, in a famous study from the 1930s, people behaved in a non-racist manner that contradicted what they reported later. Richard LaPierre sent a Chinese couple to restaurants and hotels in the U.S., and most of these establishments accommodated them. But when LaPierre contacted the same places about whether they served Chinese people, most said they did not. More recent work by Greenwald and colleagues show that most people, between 75 and 80%, have implicit, non-overt prejudices against blacks. Their website, Project Implicit, has a slew of tests that web users can take to compare their self-perceptions to their underlying attitudes about people based on different social categories such as race, age, and obesity. Oh, and they provide a link to the test. Quick plug. Tune in tomorrow to Hate Speech Radio to hear every cast member of the show take this test. What is responsible for these attitudes? Experts say one culprit is images in television, news, and film that portray blacks in a negative light. Bullshit! What expert says the culprit is television? Here's a thought. The culprit is actual black people. Yes, the culprit is actual black people living in poverty, not wanting to get out of poverty, rather wanting to stay true to their urban, whatever the fuck you want to call it, culture. I loathe even referring to it as a culture. And not wanting to better themselves. Don't believe me? Ask Bill Cosby. Ask Bill Cosby. He gets it. Quote, I don't think what's in people's heads is going to change until the environment that places these things in their head has changed. I agree with that statement. But I think we have a little, I think we may have a slight disagreement as to what constitutes the environment. Wow. Not going to share that in the chat room because that's an awfully personal statement. That one, that comment there, I'm not even going to say who said it. That's just for the chat room, but that's an awfully personal statement. But it's a very telling statement. But anyone who sits there and wants to blame the media for the way minorities are portrayed in this country is just deluding themselves. To the person that said, come on, tell us in the chat room, it was your comment. LOL. You're deluding yourself if you think for one second that the media has anything to do with this. No, it has everything to do with statistical reports and first-hand knowledge that people gain by walking through these neighborhoods and interacting with these people. Parents can also have a big influence, experts say. Related work by Dunn shows that if parents have positive attitudes towards blacks and they have good relationships with their children, then the children will have to develop more positive attitudes towards blacks, too. The fact of the matter is this. Low-income, high-crime areas are generally inhabited by minorities. Statistical data shows that minorities commit the lion's share of these crimes. Now, the silver lining in that awful cloud is that despite everything, it is absolutely 100% possible for anyone in this country to rise above their culture, rise above their upbringing, rise above whatever it is that may be holding them back and be successful. Don't believe me? Who won the last election? Period. That's it. Game's over. There is nothing stopping anyone from doing exactly what Barack Obama did in November. Nothing. As much as I don't like the man, I give him credit. I give him all the credit in the world. Fought against every possible odd and won the election in a landslide. I give him credit. And it's proof positive that anyone can do it. So all of the statistical data, all of the evidence in front of us, should shape our opinions when it comes to generalities. Of course it should. And if anybody out there says differently, you're just being a PC douchebag. But statistical evidence can be overcome. The individual, when he decides to become an individual. Actually, I take back that statement. People don't decide to become an individual. They're born individuals, just like people are born Satanists. When the individual chooses to set his sights or her sights on a goal, their culture, their upbringing, their genetics, none of it makes a damn bit of difference in terms of them achieving that goal. The only thing that matters is their own stick-to-itiveness and their own will to achieve it. Anyone can do anything in this world if they put their mind and body to it. Am I racist because I think that and because I like to play the odds based upon what I'm able to educate myself about? If you want to call me racist because of that, fine, I'm racist. I'd rather be a thinking racist than a sheep that accepts bullshit like this. Stick around. I ain't done. I'm more ranting and raving when we come back. Satanism Today.
Now available from Purging Talon is the debut authored book by Church of Satan Magister Matt G. Paradise, Bearing the Devil's Mark. Bearing the Devil's Mark is a bold and no-nonsense treatise on the subject of Satanism. Not from the perverse pen of bitter and jealous Christians, or even their pagan counterparts, but straight from the satanic perspective itself. Sex, love, politics, technology, the God religions, and more. All brought to you by someone with over 25 years of actively living the satanic philosophy. To order, log on to PurgingTalon.com. Bearing the Devil's Mark, new from Purging Talon. Do you bear the mark?
Available now from the House of Netherworld, a stirring and brilliant tribute to the founder of the Church of Satan, Dr. Anton Zandor LaVey. The Anton LaVey bust has been sculpted in the neoclassical style of the late 19th century and reflects a refined and artistic sensibility. This will surely become the centerpiece of many an altar in the finest of lairs. Each bust is hand-cast and hand-finished in a faux bronze designer polyresin and will outlast us all. This profound piece of artwork can be yours for $135 plus shipping and will include a special blend granular incense entitled Maestro, courtesy of femaleaddictions.com. The Anton LaVey bust is also available in a special Iron Age finish, which is available to Church of Satan members only. Production on this product was limited to 200 pieces, so order yours today. www.antonlaveybust.com. www.antonlaveybust.com.
You know, dogs are different than cats, and hey, what if Jack Nicholson were...
Hey, what if We Are the World was sung by the cast of Friends? I think it might go something like this.
Hi, everyone, I'm Jay Leno. Anyone remember when I was funny? Eat Doritos.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dane Cook.
Are you fed up with comedy that's made for the masses? Sick of stand-up comedian hacks with the same old routines that you've heard 1,000 times before? Equally tired of shock jocks who equate loudness with laughter? Hello, my name is Reverend Bill M., creator and host of The Devil's Mischief. a show where every week I present a new hour of comedy and novelty of devilish proportions. So tune in to The Devil's Mischief. Visit devilsmischief.com or radiofreesatan.com to download the latest podcast. The Devil's Mischief. Carnal comedy clips and netherworld novelty numbers simply not made for the masses.
Hate Speech Radio on cringehumorradio.com. Enthusiastically endorsed by members of the Opie and Anthony Show.
And what's the name of your show again?
She's on Hate Radio. Her name is Hate fucking whatever. Hate Speech. Thanks.
What was it again? Hate Speech Radio? Give them a plug for the kick farting.
Cringe Humor. Right?
CringeHumor.net. Cringe Humor Radio, what?
Oh, well, that's no title for a radio show, I hope.
And what's the name of your show again?
It's Hate Speech Radio.
Hate Speech Radio. How
on
do we get there?
CringeHumorRadio.com.
All right, very good. Hate Speech Radio, right?
Hate Speech Radio on CringeHumorRadio.com. Enthusiastically endorsed by members of the Opie and Anthony Show.
That's right. Let's see how long it takes XM to sue us for this one.
And what's the name of your show again?
Sunday nights at 8 p.m. on CringeHumorRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
I love They are so delicate, so light, so close to being nothing, but so emphatically something. They are subtle and tend to be wasted on
beer.
I'm Dave Ingram.
And me, Donovan Spensley.
And you can join us at
DarkSentinel.dk
for a multitude of metal bands.
What fun?
Crap, cream, everything in between.
And more alcohol than you can shake an empty beer crate at.
Nothing makes a more exotic party.
The same diluted metal claptrap as abused by Vincent Price.
Well, almost.
Pork.
You'll be sparkling with larceny at
www.darksentinel.dk.
Sit back and enjoy the compliment.
Piss off!
To kneel.
It's cynical.
I'm a little more than that.
Sophisticated.
Vanity is definitely my favorite sin.
And satanic.
Let me give you a little inside information about God.
It's Satanism Today. And here's your host, David Harris.
631-458-0592. Yeah, I'm a little distracted. It's because I've just seen something that really, really angered the fuck out of me. Not gonna say what it is. Very personal. So, if you want to know if he loves you so, it's in his sweat. Oh, wait, hang on a second. Yes, Jay.
Hey, man, I just want to talk about that subject you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Yeah, all I got to say is this. If people can't handle the fucking truth, they need to shut their mouths and keep going on.
I definitely agree. And that statement can be applied to a wide variety of situations. But ultimately, people will want to blame... No one wants to examine what's actually in place, because it's not a popular viewpoint. It's not something that anyone wants to say. And fuck, I don't even want to say it, because it sucks and it's hurtful. But you know what? It's fact. It is biological fact. It's been substantiated by countless studies, and there's nothing wrong with it. And there's also not to say that there aren't exceptions to everything. It's just the way it is. And people, rather than acknowledging that and working within it, choose to try to find something else to shoehorn the excuse into for fear of offending people. It's nauseating.
Exactly. And, you know, when you were talking about the green-eyed hamsters, I know exactly where to go to. The Satanic Scriptures by High Priest Peter H. Gilmore.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Good book.
It's Billy de Corporal. Definitely pick that up. Scapegoatpublishing.com. And it's back in
book. I got my copy. On the cam. You can see it right now.
All right, Jay. Thanks for calling.
All right, man.
Take care. 631-458-0592 is a phone number. It's in his sweat, folks. That's right. Expensive aftershaves, hair gels, and deodorants. This comes from the Daily Mail UK, by the way. And deodorants are all part of the armory of the modern man, but when it comes to getting the girl, chaps might be better off letting their natural scent shine through. U.S. psychologists collected samples of sweat from men who had not used deodorant, aftershave, or any other scented product, including soap, for 2 days. Some of the samples were taken after men had watched a rather boring educational documentary. In other cases, the men had watched racy videos. Did you say porno? Jeez. Stupid UK. A group of female volunteers were then asked to sniff the sweat pads while their brains were scanned. The smell of the sexy sweat stimulated different parts of the women's brains, including the regions linked to emotion, pleasure, sex, and reproduction, the Journal of Neuroscience reported. The study, carried at the Rice University in Texas, suggested that women can subconsciously sniff out men who are attracted to them. The latest research is, however, far from the first to delve into the sex appeal of sweat. Certainly not. This is a concept that Anton LaVey dealt with quite a bit in a wide variety of satanic literature, especially the Satanic Witch. Pheromones, folks. It's plain and simple. It's all pheromones, especially when it comes to... When it comes to pheromones being released through the sweat glands. It's one of your primary source of pheromones. And that's what attracts us to whom it is we're attracted to. You know, people who are squirting ridiculous amounts of perfume and deodorant. You're selling yourself short. Don't get me wrong. A lot of that stuff smells fantastic and will certainly get the goat of somebody who is attracted to that particular scent. But as far as trying to find something, particularly somebody who might be compatible with you on a chemical and biological level, your pheromones, I should say. I can recall several relationships that I've had in the past where, literally, and maybe it's just because I've looked into this kind of thing, I'm a little bit more attuned to it, as most of us probably are, having, studied at the very least, Anton LaVey's perspective on the subject of pheromones, where somebody I was with just didn't smell right. They didn't necessarily stink. They didn't necessarily smell bad. But they smelled off. Something didn't smell right. And this kind of thing happens. We're animals. Of course, we've been taught by the stupid society that we live in to cover up our natural scent for fear of offending those around us. And certainly, since we do exist within the construct of this society, we should, anyone practicing the art of lesser magic and trying to move through society at large would do well to at least be cognizant of those particular rules and abide by them when appropriate. However, when it comes to wooing member of the opposite sex or member of the same sex, if that's your inclination, your own natural scent is going to be what's going to attract those that are biologically and chemically compatible with you. Troy C. in the chat room says, natural scent has to be controlled, though there are people who come into work smelling awful and it isn't attractive at all. No, I absolutely agree. Don't get me wrong. Don't stop showering. Fuck no. That's not the point at all. But the point is, even animals in nature clean themselves. Clean natural scent. Thank you, Grace Marie. Clean natural scent is what will attract those that are, like I said, biologically and chemically compatible with you. You may find that that person's a complete friggin' lunatic, and you may not want to be with them that way, but, there's more at work, especially when it comes to the fact that we are sexual creatures with an inherent need to breed. It would be wise, especially for those of us that are, those of you out there who are listening that are Satanists, to be cognizant of this biological function, and to know that that's what it stems from. To get personal for a moment, many of you know that the lovely Heather Height and I are getting married. In addition to literally being my mental doppelganger. I've never in 31 and a half years of life had such a strong urge that I have to fight. I have to fight this urge on a daily basis. The urge to breed. Not just have sex, but to breed. It's biological and chemical compatibility that does that. Nothing else. Never before in a relationship have I had to fight that urge. And who's got their cam or their mic on? Jesus, in the chat room. Slesk, was that you? Jesus. I guarantee you that that is a pheromone thing. That is a biological and chemical reaction to pheromones. Nothing more. It's just somehow she and I have, you know, come into each other's lives, and on top of being attracted to each other mentally and physically, there's a biological and chemical thing at work there that I'm fortunate enough to be experiencing. Jay, go fuck yourself. I'm not even reading that in a chat room. You're a douchebag. Getting back to the article, researchers asked a group of female students to judge the attractiveness of men shown in photos. A study carried out at the University of Northumbria showed that a whiff of sweat can turn a frog into a prince. Second group of women were asked the same task, but this time, unknown to them, a cloth soaked in male sweat was hidden nearby. Suddenly, the men were all given higher ratings. Of course. It makes perfect sense. It's the natural biological function that all animals experience, that we are experiencing in studies like this, and that we experience in day-to-day interaction with members of the opposite sex, or as I said, if it's your inclination, the same sex. This is nothing new. There's no need for this to be studied, as interesting as I find it, because it's all... You need look no further than the animal kingdom to understand this. This is what... And I think a lot of this has to do with man's overtly high opinion of himself. Somehow we feel we need to study this kind of thing because somehow we feel we're different from animals. We're not. We're animals. All a lot of this base biological function stuff that is readily apparent to folks like you and I, for some reason, needs to be examined. Because far be it for humans to embrace their animal instincts. No, we need to study them and wonder why it is that they work the way that they work. This is how it is. It's just how it is. Look at the animal kingdom. You will learn quite a bit. I'm going to take a quick break, come back, wrap things up with a quick story. Stick around. You're listening to Satanism Today.
Now available from Purging Talon is the debut authored book by Church of Satan Magister Matt G. Paradise, Bearing the Devil's Mark. Bearing the Devil's Mark is a bold and no-nonsense treatise on the subject of Satanism. Not from the perverse pen of bitter and jealous Christians, or even their pagan counterparts, but straight from the satanic perspective itself. Sex, love, politics, technology, the God religions, and more. All brought to you by someone with over 25 years of actively living the satanic philosophy. To order, log on to purgingtalon.com. Bearing the Devil's Mark, new from Purging Talon. Do you bear the mark?
Available now from the House of Netherworld. A stirring and brilliant tribute to the founder of the Church of Satan, Dr. Anton Zandor LaVey. The Anton LaVey bust has been sculpted in the neoclassical style of the late 19th century and reflects a refined and artistic sensibility. This will surely become the centerpiece of many an altar in the finest of lairs. Each bust is hand-cast and hand-finished in a faux bronze designer polyresin and will outlast us all. This profound piece of artwork can be yours for $135 plus shipping and will include a special blend granular incense entitled Maestro, courtesy of femaleaddictions.com. The Anton LaVey bust is also available in a special Iron Age finish, which is available to Church of Satan members only. Production on this product was limited to 200 pieces, so order yours today. www.antonlaveybust.com. www.antonlaveybust.com.
You know, dogs are different than cats, and hey, what if Jack Nicholson were...
Hey, what if We Are the World was sung by the cast of Friends? I think it might go something like this.
Hi, everyone, I'm Jay Leno. Anyone remember when I was funny? Eat Doritos.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dane Cook.
Are you fed up with comedy that's made for the masses? Sick of stand-up comedian hacks with the same old routines that you've heard 1,000 times before? Equally tired of shock jocks who equate loudness with laughter? Hello, my name is Reverend Bill M., creator and host of The Devil's Mischief, a show where every week I present a new hour of comedy and novelty of devilish proportions. So tune in to The Devil's Mischief. Visit devilsmischief.com or radiofreesatan.com to download the latest podcast. The Devil's Mischief. Carnal comedy clips and netherworld novelty numbers simply not made for the masses.
Damen und Herren, the comedy stylings of Heather Height. Hate Speech Radio, every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, and CringeHumorRadio.com. Achtung!
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
I love... They are so delicate, so light, so close to being nothing, but so emphatically something. They are subtle and tend to be wasted on
beer.
I'm Dave Ingram.
And me, Donovan Spensley.
And you can join us at
DarkSentinel.dk
for a multitude of metal bands.
What fun.
Crap, cream, everything in between.
And more alcohol than you can shake an empty beer crate at.
Nothing makes a more exotic party.
The same diluted metal claptrap as abused by Vincent Price.
Well, almost.
Pork.
You'll be sparkling with larceny at...
www.darksentinel.dk.
Sit back and enjoy the compliment.
Piss off!
Warning, the contents of this show actually make sense.
We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. I'm very, very pissed off.
It's Satanism Today. Here's your host, David Harris.
631-458-0592 is the phone number. So we have about 5.5 minutes left in the show. Get to this real quick here. It's from CNN. Something that should shock no one. Misbehaving teens may be at risk for major adulthood problems. Shocking. People who displayed behavioral problems as teenagers were likely to develop mental or personal problems in adulthood, according to a new study published in the British Medical Journal. The study looked at more than 3,500 people beginning in the teen years and following them for 40 years. The data came from a national survey of health and development from the Medical Research Council, an organization in the United Kingdom. Teachers assessed these individuals at age 13 and 15, comparing them with their peers with respect to a number of behaviors. Problematic behaviors included disobedience, lying, lack of punctuality, restlessness, truancy, daydreaming in class, and poor response to discipline. What? I can see a few of those. But restlessness is a sign of problematic behavior. I've been restless since I was an infant. Daydreaming is a problematic behavior? This study brought to you by Dow Chemical. Jesus Christ. they want to sedate. This research suggests that all kids should be put on Prozac. No. Idiots. This research suggests that adolescent conduct problems are indicative of more serious problems in creating and maintaining positive social relationships, and this has a long-term effect on the young adult's ability to maintain good mental health, stable employment, and a happy family life. I daydreamed, was disobedient, was truant, and lied my ass off throughout my entire adolescence. And guess what? I've got a happy home life, I've held a job for countless years, and what was the other one? I don't know, I was too restless to pay attention. What is this? What else does it say? I can't hold a job. It must be my ADD kicking in. I gotta go take my Adderall. Maintain good. I'm obviously crazy. Yes. There it is. I found it. The authors were surprised that even adolescents with milder behavioral problems had poor outcomes in adulthood. Poor outcomes? You know, not everyone gets to be president of the United States. I'm sorry. It's called stratification. We need burger flippers and ditch diggers. Don't make you a bad person. Grace Marie, so what is a good child? A good child is someone who sits down, doesn't think for themselves, and does exactly what they're told at all given points. At least that's the impression I'm getting from this horseshit. More than 1,000 adolescents in the study who had moderate but not severe conduct problems were more likely to leave school early or be involved in teenage pregnancy. Holy fuck, teens like sex. Who'd have thunk it? And maybe if you weren't so goddamn repressive, maybe they think about wearing a fucking bag. Instead of having to sneak around. I can't get birth control. I can't. The pharmacist knows my mother. I can't go buy it. Shut up. Your stupid Christian morality. Die already. And later in life had increased likelihood of divorce, alcohol abuse, and overall life adversity. Again, not everyone gets to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. This is the real world. We are animals. While anyone can do whatever it is they put their minds to, a lot of people don't want to put their minds to anything. A lot of people don't have the minds to put to anything. One caveat is that teachers assessed their students in 1959 and 1961, meaning that they've used slightly different criteria for the problem behaviors that will be used today. While there are few studies tracking behavior over such a long period of time, a large body of research has arrived at the similar conclusion that problems that emerge in adolescence are risk factors for mental disorders such as alcoholism. Alcoholism is not a mental disorder. Fuck what the American Psychiatric Association says. Alcoholism is not a disease. Anyone that sits there and tells you that alcoholism is a disease is a weak piece of garbage. Alcoholism is, I can't stop drinking. Stop. You don't want to be an alcoholic anymore? Stop fucking drinking. You don't want to do coke anymore? You don't want to be a cokehead anymore? Stop doing coke. I can't stop. I'm sick. I have a disease. No, you don't, stupid. You have a compulsive behavior that you can't stop doing because you're weak-willed and spineless. Slesk, you don't want to be fat? Shut your mouth and don't shove food in it. Thank you. Grace Marie said a pothead once told me it was his drug dealer that put him up to smoking. It's a disease. It's a mental disorder. I can't stop. Yes, you can, dummy. You just don't want to. While there are a few studies... Okay, I read that already. These results do not necessarily mean that adolescents' behavioral problems cause complications later in life, experts say, but the correlation may be due to underlying factors such as mental illness or negative environment that do not change over time, said Dr. Martin Iguchi, professor at University of California, Los Angeles, School of Public Health, who was not involved in the study and is a PC douchebag. I'm sick of this already. I'm getting angry. All right, that's enough out of me for today. If you enjoyed me ranting about all of this and want to learn a little bit more about Satanism, the beliefs, tenets, philosophies therein, you can log on to the Church of Satan website. Go to www.churchofsatan.com. And you can run on down to your local bookstore while you're at it. Pick up a copy of The Satanic Bible by Anton Zandor LaVey, available at fine Avon paperback. While you're there, because it's back in bookstores now, get yourself a copy of The Satanic Scriptures by our current high priest, Peter H. Gilmore. Available from Scapegoat Publishing, www.scapegoatpublishing.com. I want to thank all of the people who support this show, including my good friend, Magister Matchy Paradise, by his book, Bearing the Devil's Mark, and the folks at Evening Eclipse Candles for making the studio smell so pretty every week. Like I said, no show next week. I'm going to be upstate hanging out with some friends, including the good Reverend Joe Netherworld, as well as our high priest and priestess. So we'll see you in about 2 weeks. Till we speak again, hail Satan.